All right, well, let's go to the Lord before we get into His Word. Father, we're so thankful You gave us Your Word to guide us, Lord, along with Your Holy Spirit. When we read Your Word, Lord, sometimes it takes the Holy Spirit to help us understand what it is we're reading, or to dig a little deeper and get the true meaning out of it, Lord, or go to another passage that can help us understand what we're reading. But we know that through Your Word, we learn not only about You, but we learn about us. And we learn about what we need to do. But mainly we learn that we need to be close to You. We need to obey You. We need to follow Your directions so that our relationship is never hindered. It's never broken, that You can always be there with us. And Lord, if we ever, ever feel that it is broken, help us to stop and say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I don't want a broken relationship with You. I want to be strong. So help us to do that, Lord. Be with me, Lord, as I've prepared this message. Help me to deliver it the way You would want it done, Lord, and help it to bring a blessing. As You said, people who read or listen to this book of Revelation, in Your Word, will get a blessing out of it. They'll be blessed. So, Lord, I pray that that will be true. We'll focus, we'll see the blessing, we'll receive the blessing, Lord. So be with us now as we get into Your Word. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so indeed we are in chapter 6. We've gone through the first five chapters. We've seen that the Holy Spirit, or Jesus, through John, communicated with the seven churches there in the Middle East, I guess is what I'll say, Asia Minor. So He communicated with them, told them things they were doing good, told them things they needed to work on and get better, right? And so that's what we need to get out of those messages to those churches. He's speaking to us just as He spoke to them. We're a church. We're one of His churches. He's speaking to us. So let us be obedient that way, right? Okay, what else did He talk about? The book of Revelation. That's where we're at. Now He talked to those churches. Then what happened? Took John up to the throne room. Took John up to God's throne. It's not really a room, though. I don't know why I keep saying that. It's so easy to say throne room, throne room, throne room. It wasn't a room. There were no walls. He didn't mention any walls. He just mentioned the throne, and He mentioned the 24 elders that were there. And He mentioned the emerald-colored rainbow. You can't contain God. He cannot be contained. And so that's why there's no walls there. It's not a container, Curtis.
Would you say what He did was show John the future of what was going to happen before the tribulation of the opening of the seals that we're about to speak about?
Isn't that what this book's about?
Yep.
Showing us what's coming?
Yep.
Yeah, it is, right?
Yes, it is.
It is. But we're still working on things that happened in the past. We haven't gotten into future things yet. The communication with the seven churches, that was in the past, 2,000 years ago. That's done and over with. John going up to the throne of God, that's over with. He did that a couple thousand years ago. So that's done. So we're talking about things that are in the past still yet, all right? But we're going to get to these things that are in the future. And that's what chapter 6 is going to start us on. All right, so let's get started then. So I'm going to give you some things to think about before we get into it. Here are some things to ponder, and maybe you can even investigate it when you get home on your free time, whenever that is. Up to this point in our study, we've been dealing with events in the past. John on the island, the Lord's message to him about the seven churches, what he saw in the throne room. That's all done and over with. Now we're going to look at what we and fundamental conservative biblicists believe that the rapture and events of chapter 6 and following chapters are all future events. Now we're going to get into the future, okay? The rapture hasn't happened yet. How do we know that?
We're still here.
Here we are, right? Wherever we go, there we are. So here we are, right? Okay, so that's going to be a future event. There's other future events. The coming of a one world leader that we refer to as Antichrist. The tribulation of God's judgment. The opening of the scrolls, seven seals. We're going to get into that. The seven trumpet judgments. The seven bowl judgments. The second coming of Christ. The millennial reign of Christ. And other events that are future events. That's all coming in the future, folks. We ought to be excited. Good things are going to happen in the future. The bad things, I don't think we're going to suffer through, but we'll find out. Also, it appears that the first 3.5 years after the rapture will be a time of peace, at least for Israel. I'm not thinking about the whole world. Israel and a few other nations. Now, the book of Revelation mostly covers the second half of the 7 years. Because the first 3.5 years are relatively peaceful. But I think we're going to find out some things tonight. And so the second half, the second 3.5 years, is referred to as the Great Tribulation. Even Jesus called it that. And that, beginning in Revelation 6, with the opening of the first seal. That starts the next half, right? So, is the first 3.5 years of the tribulation a time of peace? We get this thought from the covenant that Israel signs with the Antichrist, or the next world leader, the one world leader, and that's in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. Okay, I have that in your notes. It's not read yours, but it is in mine. And here's what it says. Then he, that world leader, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. I'm quoting that directly, and that's the end of the quote. Is this a covenant of world peace?
Yes.
Okay, now let me just say this. There's going to be a third temple on the Temple Mount.
Right.
Well, there has to be. Otherwise, he can't bring it into that, right? But listen, there's going to be, you know, we often say there's going to be another temple. And maybe there will be. But does there have to be a temple there?
It doesn't have to be on the temple.
Could it be a tent?
Yeah.
Right.
About building one this year.
Okay, well, hold on. Yeah, they're talking about doing a lot of things, but you don't always get to do what you talk about, right?
Amen.
So, we don't know exactly what's going to be up there, but we know there's going to be this covenant.
Right.
And we think of it as a peace covenant, don't we?
Right.
All right? But what does it say? He shall confirm a covenant with many, not just Israel, many, for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he'll bring an end to the sacrifice. Now, this week is not a week. Each day is a year. So this week represents the 7 years of the tribulation period, okay? So you get 3.5 days, and then he cuts the sacrifice off, and then the second half, Billy, I think we got visitors over here next door. So in the second half, that's when the Great Tribulation is. Right, now, it's not necessarily a peace treaty per se. Let's all watch Billy go out the door. Well, I think he can handle it. They're wondering why the door's locked and they can't get in. Okay, so it's not necessarily a peace treaty. It's really more like a building permit. Okay? It's kind of like a building permit for the third temple. Remember when Nehemiah went back to build the wall around Jerusalem?
Yes.
One of the kings, I can't remember which one, but one of them gave him permission to go back and he went back and started building. But what happened? They had to post guards because they would be attacked while they were trying to restore the wall. So he had to post guards so they could go on with the building while they were being attacked. And they would repel that, right? And eventually they did get the wall built. That might happen. That might happen. Okay? Now, why do I say that? Because Matthew 24 shows us it's not a world peace. Yeah, we got to go back to what Jesus said. So we're going to take a field trip back to Matthew 24. So go to that chapter in your Bible. Matthew 24, go to verse 1. And Jesus is going to tell us what is happening in the rest of the world after the rapture. Now, it doesn't say Well, the rapture happened, and now this, no, it doesn't say that. But you have to, you know, I was talking to a little girl today. She comes over and helps Liz with the horses. She's learning about horses.
What verse?
One.
One, okay.
And we got to talking about geology and the earth record and, you know, what scientists thought and what Bible people thought, you know, and how that all worked. And she looked a little confused because the Bible doesn't say it exactly that way. It tells you there was a flood. It tells you the tectonic plates broke apart. So when you bring that up, then you're talking science more than you are talking Bible. And so she got a hold of that, right? But then when I said, you know, when those tectonic plates raised up and that water drained off, that's where you got the big rivers that we have today, the Mississippi and the Amazon and the Nile River and all that. That was water flowing off that table. And it carved out those rivers. It wasn't billions of years of water rolling down a valley. Amen. Not true. Okay? So, the earth record tells us that. Mm-hmm. The earth itself says that's not true. Amen. Here's how it really happened. Okay? So, let's go back to Matthew 24 and see what the Lord has to say. Because He knows what really happened. Now, let me just fire my place again. All right. Now, I want to read. Of course, I got to get there myself. But I want to read the first 14 verses. Matthew 24, 1 through 14. I'm just going to say the Lord gives us a capsulette of the tribulation right here in this chapter. Okay? All right. Chapter 24, verse 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came up to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these buildings, all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." So they're in the temple doing what they're supposed to be doing as Jews, and they're leaving, and the disciples are telling about all this stuff, how great it is, and who built it, and how they took it. And Jesus says, "You know what? That's great. But this is all going to be torn down." And you know what? That happened in A.D. 70 when the Romans came to town and they sacked Jerusalem. And they tore that temple and everything down. All the stones scattered. The only thing left is the Wailing Wall. That great wall that they all go and pray and stick their little notes in the cracks. So they tore it down. Then verse 3, "Now as He sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of Your coming and the end of the age?'" Well, you're telling us something's going to happen in the future. When's that going to happen? And they must have had some inkling that He was going to leave because they asked Him, when was He going to come back? Well, if they asked Him that, they must have thought He's going to be leaving pretty soon, right? So they're kind of catching on a little bit, but they don't have the big picture. They're thinking maybe He'll go out into the desert and do something and then He'll come back. They're not picturing that He's going to go away for 2,000 or 3,000 years. I hope it's like 2,000. Any rate. So they want to know what's going to happen. Here's what He says. Jesus answered them. Now, at this point, I'm going to interject that the rapture happens right before He tells them what's going to happen. Okay? I'll explain that better in a minute. Verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in My name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows.'" Now listen, if you believe that the tribulation doesn't happen until after the rapture, and Jesus says this is the beginning of sorrows, then what had to just happen? The rapture. The rapture put the time clock in motion. And now all the believers are raptured out. They're gone. And so Jesus is saying, now He didn't explain it in great detail. Why not? Why didn't Jesus tell them about the rapture and explain it in detail? Because they're Jews. They're not part of the church. For goodness sakes, they haven't been introduced to the Holy Spirit yet. There isn't even a church that could be raptured. So if he told them, well, the church is going to be raptured out, they'd be running around with their head on fire. What's he talking about? So he can't tell them that, but he gives them the big picture. You know, in education, there's two kinds of learners. There's global learners. They want the big picture. Just give me the big picture. Get to the bottom line. And then there's the detail people. They got to have all the little details. You can't go to the big picture. You got to tell me this and tell me that. Okay, so he gave them the big picture. And what's he tell them? Let me see. I probably ought to use my notes here. All right. So Jesus is telling what applies to the Jews who are not trusting Jesus for salvation. That hasn't been offered to them yet, has it?
No.
Here, according to Jesus, is a chronological list of events, not necessarily all-inclusive. Okay? I just told you the rapture probably just happened. How can I say that? It doesn't say it there. Because our God is a God of order and a God of logic. He does things in an orderly way. What does logic mean? It makes sense. He does things in an orderly way that makes sense. So if he's going to act according to his word and there's going to be a rapture, it's got to happen, and then this other stuff happens, all right? So here's what he says. The rapture's going to happen, but he doesn't tell them that. Then he says, you're going to hear, many are going to come in my name saying I'm the Christ, and you're going to hear of wars and rumors. Well, why is that going to happen? Because the internet's going to be shut down, folks. You ever see what people look like when they don't have their phone? Man, they don't know what to do. They're usually walking around like this. Now they got to walk around like this. It's a whole different posture. They don't know what to do. There was a professor in a college that if you took his course, for the first, I think, the first 3 weeks, you were not allowed to bring your phone to the class. He said you couldn't believe the way those people acted because they didn't have access to their phone. Okay. Right? Yeah.
I got a question on that. Man, could it be that the rapture is what causes the internet to be taken down?
It could be. We can't rule that out. But I think it's more likely that the powers that be will shut it down.
Yeah.
Ryan, is it possible to shut the internet down? Can you cut people off the internet? Well, they're cutting people off social media, aren't they? Okay. So I think it's probably going to be... And listen, we're not there yet. They still have time to work on that. Do you think they're working on that? I mean, like in overtime, they're working on that because they want to control all of us. They don't want us thinking for ourselves. That causes problems, Frank. That could be part of it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but here's another reason why there's going to be wars. The leadership of countries and armies are going to suddenly disappear because if they're believers, they're going to be raptured. Leaders of nations are going to disappear because if they're believing in Christ and trusting Him, they're going to be raptured. So what's going to happen? The next guy in line, he's going to get his weapons ready because he's going to take over. Nobody else is getting this gig. It's for me now. The big guy's gone, and now I'm the big guy. So you're going to have not just wars. You're going to have civil wars. Yeah. It's going to be warfare, right? Go ahead. Make it quick. We're not there yet. It's not the second seal. If you notice, listen, look at these things that are going to happen. Are any of them really supernatural?
No.
These things are going on today. There's wars. There's rumors of wars. The internet breaks down every now and then. For goodness sake, some city up north is out of power. We're in North Carolina for 3 or 4 days. Our power grid is so fragile, it's ridiculous. But we all keep going on like, we're good. We're good. Patty?
They're saying that there's going to be a lot of problems on Earth, right?
Yes.
And he said these things are the beginning of the sorrow. So
yes.
And that happened after the rapture.
Yes.
But the next one says that they're going to deliver you and kill you because of Jesus.
That's right.
Why are they doing
that? Okay, we'll get to that. Let me get to it in order here. Because I get away from my notes, then I got to start repeating myself and I waste a lot of time. We don't want to do that, do we? No. All right. Famine. Wars bring famine. Because people can't plant crops while they're fighting wars. They can't do that. And they're not going to be able to get the stuff they need anyway. So there's going to be famine. There's going to be earthquakes. We're having earthquakes now, but they're going to get more frequent. They're already getting more frequent. Look at the island of Hawaii. It's up in flames right now.
Mm-hmm. So is Indonesia.
Okay, there you go. So we're having that. Nothing new about that, but they're going to get more frequent, okay? So they're going to have him. Pestilence. That's a disease. That's pandemics. Yeah. Now, COVID is a man-made thing, all right? So there'll be that too. Because guess what? When those labs get broken into and crash down because of earthquakes and stuff, what happens? The germs get out, don't they?
Yep.
And then we got to deal with that. But then there's natural germs because you've got all these dead bodies all over the place. Nobody's burying those bodies, folks. They're trying to survive. They're trying to get to a place of safety. So there's all those rotten bodies laying around. They're causing disease. They're causing problems. What?
They're having pestilence in New York. Going to have a rat czar.
There you go. All right. We already have these problems, but they're just going to get really, really much worse. All right. Okay. And then you go on down, and it's got hate and punishment. Now we're getting close to where you want to know about, Patty. These things are discussed about. The end is not yet, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginnings of sorrow. Then they'll deliver you up to the tribulation and kill you. Okay, so what they're saying is they will be hate, unbridled hate. What's one of the big signs of the end times? Lawlessness. We're already suffering through that. We're just getting a little inkling of it. It's going to be way, way worse during this time. You're not going to be here. Believers are going to be gone, all right? That's what we believe, all right? And if you're a Jew is a God person. You got a bullseye on you if you're a Jew. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, oh, wait a minute, you just said all the believers left. But what's going to happen? People that had gone to church and heard messages and knew something about Jesus, heard about the rapture, oh, it's true. They're going to wake up. They're going to wake up, and then they're going to say, I should have trusted him then, but I will trust him now. They're going to become believers right then. They're going to have a bullseye on them as well. Because anybody that names the name of Christ is in direct opposition to the one world leader. And they're going to round you up, away you're going to go, right? Yes, they are. Right. So see, here's what I'm saying. These things are happening now. They're not supernatural, but it's going to get way worse.
Yes.
Way worse, all right? Yeah.
Well, and just for clarification, because I know that these are all things that we will experience, but when Jesus is talking, he's telling them, you're going to experience them. So they already experienced all these things. So these are things that were then, now, but they will, and that's why he says the beginning of birth pain, right? Because
right.
If they had it bad then, I mean, from their perspective, they didn't have the big worldview that we have. But they were living in these little communities. They were running and hiding in the clefts of the rock. They were hiding from wars.
They did all
the
that.
The Romans went in and, you know, took over.
Right.
So this, when he said you, he meant them.
He's talking to them.
Right.
That's right. Okay. But like I said, God's logical. We're logical. He gave us a brain to think. If it happened to them because they were trusting God and the Antichrist is in opposition to God and you say, I believe in Jesus, and you start telling people, you need to believe in Jesus, what's going to happen?
Right.
You're going to disappear.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now think of the Jews during the Holocaust.
Sure.
Okay. Think of that. If that's what it's going to be like for everybody,
right,
except for the Jews at the beginning, because they have a covenant with the Antichrist.
What this is all about, yeah. Jewish people.
Yeah. Well, it is, but it's about God too.
Sure.
It's about His people. But it's about people that trust in God too. Here's one thing that I think confuses people. Because we say there's a doctrine that says everyone who believes in God and those who believe in Jesus are God's elect. I don't agree with that. God elected the Hebrew people through Abraham. Those are His people. Those are the elect. Right?
Yes.
Now we're grafted in through Christ, all right? Y'all understand that, right? Okay. So I think when it speaks of God's elect, you need to think of the Hebrews, the Jews.
Yes.
And when it talks about Christians or believers, you can include us into that. Okay? So just that little side note. All right. So what's going to happen to the church then under those circumstances? The same thing that happens in a communist country or a country of tyranny. What does the church do? It goes underground. Did you know that the church grows more rapidly and more strong during that time? The time of an underground church? So the church is going to have to go underground, but it's not going to stop. It's going to keep going, all right? All right, let's see if we can get back to the scripture here then. So he says, this is the beginning. They'll deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Because if you trust God, you're an outsider. We don't want that. So that's why they're going to deliver you up. And they're going to do it because you name the name of God. It's for His sake they're going to kill you. And then many will be offended. I'm in verse 10. Will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Listen, folks, this is what I'm talking about, the way it was in Germany before World War II when the Nazis took over and people started telling on their friends, their family. They would even make up things that weren't even true so they could win brownie points and get things that they couldn't get before. It's going to be person against person, okay? That's what it's going to come to. And then it says, verse 12, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. So people that are borderline believers, their faith, their love for the Lord, it's going to grow cold because it's going to be severely tested. If somebody comes up, if a person of authority comes up to you and says, do you believe in Jesus? Are you a believer? Your life is on the line. Because if you say yes, you're going somewhere, right? Now, here's the good news. If they take you and kill you, where are you going to end up?
Heaven.
With the Lord. That's right. See? So you got to not fear. You got to not fear. That's why the Lord always says, don't fear. Fear not, right? You're going to suffer, but then it's going to be good. So don't worry about that, right? But the faith and love of people in general, all over, it's going to just be gone. No more helping each other. It's going to be every man for themselves, pretty much. I mean, there's going to be some believers, but they'll be hard to find. Okay? Verse 13. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now, this is a confusing little part here, okay? He who endures to the end will be saved. He who endures to the end of what? The whole tribulation? You got to make it through the whole tribulation to be saved? You got to make it to the halfway mark to be saved? You got
to
make it to the end of your life. Yeah, whatever your end is. You got to be faithful to whatever your end is. If you are not a believer and the rapture happened and you are still here, and the next day you decided you were going to trust Christ, you were going to live for Him, you were going to follow what you knew about Him, right? And then, Curtis, the Holy Spirit would help you. The Holy Spirit is not helping the whole world like He was before. But if you profess Christ, He'll help you. Right? So you do that. You didn't believe before, but now you're going to believe. And then the next day, you're out trying to do whatever you're trying to do, and you get caught. And they ask you the question, do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Amen.
That's it for you.
That's the end.
Okay? Did you endure till the end?
Yes.
You confessed Christ till the end of your life. Right? That's kind of what we have now. People have until the end of their life to choose Jesus. Then if they die, that's it. They don't get a second chance. Once you die, you're done. You either believed or you didn't. Okay? So they endured until the end of their life.
That's, you know what, though? Can I just say that that's my fear, not being able to endure.
That's okay.
My fear. Have no fear, but that's
right.
My fear.
Okay,
that's
so,
what I think of.
All right.
You know?
Yeah, so what do you need to do?
Have faith.
That's it. Jesus said, don't fear. I'm not going to fear, because if I fear, I'm liable to backtrack.
Yep.
But I'm not going to fear. Mm-hmm. I'm going to depend on the Holy Spirit to keep me strong in saying, I am a believer. Mm-hmm. I may lose my life,
right. But
I am a believer. And then you might be with Him very soon after that. But you'll be with Him. Much better than saying, nah, And then you're somewhere. Don't go for that.
Did you say that when the rapture occurs, the Holy Spirit goes off the earth also?
That,
everybody
yes.
From that point on has no Holy Spirit to really rely on to help them.
Right.
Okay.
Unless you profess Christ. If you know, God didn't change the rules. If you profess Christ, what happens? You receive the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
What I'm saying, the difference is that right now the Holy Spirit is working throughout the earth on unbelievers trying to get them to believe. He works in us and through us, but He also works on His own. He brings people into situations where they're going to hear the gospel and be asked to make a decision. You see, He does that for everybody. But that will stop at the rapture. That will stop. But for individuals, if they trust Jesus, He'll help.
I have a question about that.
I figured you had your hand up.
I know we as the church, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and the Old Testament believers were not, that the Holy Spirit would come upon them.
Yes.
Will the believers during the tribulation be like the Old Testament believers and that the Holy Spirit will come upon them, or will they be indwelt as we are?
Now, this is me, okay? This is not the church. This is not Baptist theology or anything like that. But if we're going to say that the Holy Spirit helps individuals, they're going to have to get saved on the knowledge they have. Because the Holy Spirit's not out there leading them now.
The Holy Spirit's already gone.
Yeah, He's gone.
Yeah.
So He's not leading people now. So whatever knowledge they have about the Lord and about getting saved and all that, He'll honor that. Even if it's just a little tidbit. But if they have enough to say, oh, Jesus, help me, save me.
But my question is, they're not indwelt.
No.
They won't be indwelt like the church.
No. Oh, they will after they call on Jesus.
Right.
When you call on Jesus, you get indwelt.
The tribulation saints will be indwelt.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Because you're not getting into heaven if you don't have the Holy Spirit. Okay?
Because, I mean, the Old Testament saints weren't indwelt.
They weren't?
Hold it. This is important. Hold it. It's important that you understand that Old Testament saints get saved the same way you get saved. How is that?
By faith.
By faith.
Yeah.
You trust the Lord, you get saved.
Yeah.
It has to follow that they were indwelt.
Right.
But He didn't indwell them to make them go over and kill a bunch of people.
They weren't indwelt until after He was crucified.
Okay. I can go with that. All right. Go.
Do you remember how indwelled with the Holy Spirit, but afterwards they were able to stand. Same thing with these tribulation.
You're talking about the disciples?
Yes, the same thing with these tribulation saints. They have to be indwelled with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Because they have to stand and get the
end. Right.
Otherwise they wouldn't have to.
You're not going to do it on your own, folks.
Exactly.
If you're not a believer, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, and somebody says to you, do you believe in Christ? Well, you don't. So you're not going to claim Him. So just think about some of these things. It will make sense if you'll follow what the Bible teaches. All right?
And I don't think that the Holy Spirit...
Okay, well, this is not just an open forum. If you have a question, ask it. Okay, stop, because you're not listening to me. You didn't hear what I said. I said the Holy Spirit goes out of the world. He's not influencing people all over the world and wooing them to the Lord. That's over. But if a believer in the tribulation, not a believer, if a person in the tribulation says, I trust Jesus to be my Savior, then He indwells them. So, God is omniscient. Let's not forget the attributes of God. If somebody calls on Him, He knows it. He's always the same. He never changes. So we have to keep all those things in mind. That's why I'm telling you, think about these things. Dwell on it. Try to figure it out. Ask the hard questions and see where the Holy Spirit leads you on it, all right? Okay. So, we have that. I think you're maybe right, but I want to say this. Because we talked about all the... So Jesus says, let me just give you this. The rapture happens. Shut down the internet. There's no media. Because there's no news, there's rumors abounding. There's going to be wars and civil wars. Leaders have disappeared. Famine from war and earthquake. Pestilence from dead bodies and earthquakes and all kinds of other stuff. Earthquakes more, bringing more death. They'll be more numerous. That will also influence climate change. Because when you have all that ash in the air, that affects the climate, all right? So that's really what they ought to be worried about, but they're not. And then false prophets lying, giving explanations for the events, but they're not true. Where did all those people go? Oh, well, you know, Jesus took them, but they're just out in the desert somewhere. They're going to come back. So in the meantime, listen to me. I can tell you what you need to do, right? Lying, false prophets, love and faith will evaporate. The underground church will be the one giving the gospel worldwide. They'll still be witnessing for Christ worldwide. That won't stop, all right? And then the end will come. But it won't be the end of the tribulation. It'll be the end of the first half. All right? Now, what does verse 15 say? Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads this, let him understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let me ask you this. When does that happen, the abomination of desolation? It happens in the middle of the week after 3.5 years. That's the midpoint of the tribulation. So we've just been talking about the first half. Now we're going to go into what's called, and Jesus said this Himself, the Great Tribulation. You thought it was bad? You have seen nothing yet.
Would you say that the wrath of God now?
Yes. Yes. I mean, even that's kind of the wrath of God. But you know, God is merciful, isn't He? He's merciful. He's not wiping them out yet like it's going to be. They still have a chance. People see these things. They still have a chance to remember, oh yeah, I heard some guy talking about that. how everything was going to just come to an end, and that was because Jesus was taking the Holy Spirit out, blah, 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 you know, whatever little knowledge they got. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they'll remember it and act on it, okay? Mm-hmm. All right. Now, here's something important. The rapture is not the sign of the end for non-believing Jews. The rapture, they don't care about that. They're not looking for the rapture. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in the gospel. They don't believe in the New Testament. They don't believe in the rapture. So when that happens, it's just going to be a lot of people are gone. Wonder what's up with that. But they're not going to say, there's the sign we've been looking for. Hey, another 3.5 years, our Messiah is going to show up. They don't have it. They don't study that stuff. All right? Now, let's go back to Daniel 9:27. But you don't have to go there. It's in your notes. I think it's the second page. Right after where it says, the rapture is not the sign of the end of non-believing Jews. The many in Daniel 9:27. Let me read it again to refresh your memory. Well, let's see. If I would keep my notes handy, it would help. Okay, Daniel 9:27. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Who are the many? It's not just... Yeah, it's other countries. Who are they?
Whoever's left.
Nope, it's not whoever's left, because every nation on earth is going to be left. It's going to be the immediate enemies of Israel. Those countries that they're warring with today, the Palestinians and the Jordanians and those people there in the Middle East, right? It's going to be them, and it's going to be some of the distant enemies they have, like Russia and others. I can't even name them all. But there has to be a covenant that includes them. Otherwise, they'll keep attacking Israel full bore. They won't be able to build a temple under those conditions. So this world leader gets them all to agree to back off. Back off. I got this. Just trust me. I'll get you guys through this. You just wait and see, right? So he gets them to sign on to the covenant. All right, Patty? Right.
But where does it say that?
Where does it say that? I don't have it off the top of my head.
But it says day is in here somewhere, right? At least a day is in here.
Does it say it, Ryan, anywhere?
Well,
that's 1,000 years. We only want one day is 1 year. Okay, it has to go. You have to go back to the prophecy of Daniel and the weeks, the 70 weeks prophecy. But each one of those weeks isn't just a week, okay? So it's a very deep subject and explanation. So we'll have to come back to that. No, the rapture is not 7 years. The rapture is the blink of an eye.
Tribulation.
The tribulation is 7 years.
Yeah,
right. Okay. All right. So will you trust me? And if you ask anybody that has knowledge of the Bible, how many years is in the tribulation? Ask them that. See if they don't say seven.
Yeah, I know. And I know there's...
Okay. Well, you can look it up. It's called Bible study. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I've got a question on that. When it says he will confirm a covenant, why would he's going to make this covenant stronger? So obviously it sounds like a covenant already exists. I'm wondering, isn't this Abraham Accord that he's going to make stronger?
I don't have an answer on that. We'll just have to wait and see. All I know is, you have to just know it says he'll confirm a covenant. That could mean that he presents it, and when they sign it, then he signs it and confirms it.
I see.
He's the last signer. That's all it means.
But what I said the Jews want to know, could it also mean that the Jews also going to go along with this with these other countries and agree on all of it?
They have to agree to whatever stipulations are in the covenant. Otherwise, they don't have it.
Right.
Yes.
I just had a quick question. If we jump a little forward to Matthew 23, then if anyone says to you, during the great tribulation, look, here's the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it.
Mm-hmm.
False Christs and prophets will appear, and they will provide great signs and wonders, so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect, God's chosen ones. Listen carefully, I have told you in advance. So if they say to you, look, he is in the wilderness, do not go there. Look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes as far as the west, so will be the coming in glory of the Son of Man. Everyone will see him clearly. I have an amplified
question.
So what's your question?
Well, my question is, so even during the times, God, if God forbid, if we're, you know, if we're left here for whatever reason, and, you know,
if you're trusting Christ, you won't.
I know, but I'm just saying, for those who are left here,
mm-hmm.
you know, then if they become believers, those who haven't been saved yet, but those who are, you know, will people be deceived at that time?
Yes. Yes, people will be deceived, because the message then will be the same as the message now.
So how are you?
Trust Jesus Christ. Trust His Word. Don't go with the crowd. Don't trust what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Get into the Word.
Gotcha.
Okay? Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go back to Daniel 27. Okay, so other nations are involved in this covenant. They have to be in order to get anything done, all right? So it's going to be their immediate enemies that are next door and those that are extended out, right? So the other nations of the world, let me go back here. The Antichrist continues to work on the coercion and control of the other nations. If you're wondering what's happening with the one world leader in the other nations of the world while this is going on, because we just talked about the first 3.5 years. Well, what's he doing? He's working on all the nations of the world to get them to come under his control. Do you think people are just going to say, yeah, we're on with your plan? Or we're going to give up the rights to our nation. Our leaders are going to bow down to you right away. No, it's going to take some coercion, right? It's going to take some arm twisting and things like that. Okay, that's the way I would say it. So he's trying to get control of the other nations of the world for 3.5 years. And then when he finally controls all of them, or enough that they declare him God of the world, yes, they're going to declare him God of the world. That's what that crown means. They're going to give him a crown. It's not a golden crown. It's more like the Olympic crown of leaves, right? The old original Olympic crown. So they're going to make him leader, God of the world. And that's when he's going to end the temple sacrifices. You don't need to do that anymore. That's useless now. I am God. You worship me now. That's at the midpoint of the tribulation. All right?
Is that the abomination of desolation?
Exactly. So it's either going to be him or one of his entities that we'll read about, set up as the object of worship. All right? So, if this is all true, then the events of Matthew 24, 4 through 8 put the beginning of sorrows, the direct attacks on Israel and the Jews at the same time as the abomination of desolation, also called the Great Tribulation. So the first 3.5 years is the Antichrist is trying to get other nations to sign on and come under his control. Things are happening to people that are left in the world. They're still trying to make a decision if they're going to trust Christ or not. All that stuff is going on. So it's not like nothing is happening. It's not a time of peace. It's relatively peaceful for Israel because they're a part of the covenant. But these other countries are not. And the people are not they're not at peace. Yes.
Isn't something supposed to happen when somebody turns their back to Jerusalem? Nations turn their backs against Jerusalem or something?
I'm not aware of it.
All right.
Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
In this time period, will there be the mark of the beast during the 3.5 years where you have to, you could only, you can't sell anything or buy anything? Or would that be the second?
I have to look into that.
Okay. During the Great Tribulation is going to be the hand and head seal to buy or sell.
So Ruth says second half. We'll find out. Okay? We'll confirm that.
Okay.
All right. And then in Matthew 25, now here's something I want you to understand. In Matthew 24, you have the beginning, the middle point, and the end of the tribulation. Matthew 24 is a capsule. Jesus gives them a capsule of the tribulation. The only thing he doesn't tell them about is the rapture. Yes?
Okay, so then I have a question for you. Because this is Jesus telling the people then, you will be given up to tribulation. This isn't to us. This is to them. We're reading what Jesus told them was going to happen to them.
Has it happened yet to them?
It has. Them.
Who? When did that happen?
When they were given up for their belief, because they were martyred and murdered.
Tell me when there was worldwide tribulation.
That's not what it says. It says you will be given up to tribulation, not the tribulation. It's saying, but he's telling them, you will be given up. This letter is. We're reading their conversation, right?
Okay.
So what we have here is he's trying to explain. I'm trying to understand this. He's explaining
okay,
to them.
Okay, I can clarify it for
what's
you.
What's going to happen
yeah, right.
to down the road for the end time?
He's telling them what's going to happen when he comes back, right before he comes back.
Right, but he's also telling
He's them, telling us.
Right, but he's also telling them it's going to happen to them.
And it's going to happen to us.
Right.
Because they're not he didn't come back then.
No, I think
that. Well, listen to me.
Right.
It hasn't happened yet.
But
they're gone.
Sure,
Victoria, they're gone. They're not here. They're not going to suffer it.
But they did suffer.
But they didn't.
Peter was murdered. Paul was
Victoria,
murdered.
Listen to me.
Yes.
They didn't suffer before he returned as their Messiah. He's not yet returned as their Messiah.
Correct. But right. So what I'm saying is they want to know when, because he's saying he's going to come back, and they
right.
really want to know when.
Right.
So from my biblical studies and my seminary
right.
days, my understanding was that they were warned that they were going to suffer for his name's sake, but it wasn't going to be the end.
Right.
So that's kind of what I'm trying to clarify here. So when he says, you know, they'll deliver you up to tribulation, that's what my the tribulation.
Will.
So they had tribulations and trials, and they had to escape. When the Romans came
okay,
in.
Can I get in here?
Yeah.
Okay. The point is,
right.
he's telling them, yes, they're going to suffer. Does anybody suffer in the world today?
Absolutely.
Does anybody suffer for Christ today?
Sure.
Yeah. So it started back then, but it's ongoing.
Right.
But he's telling them something they don't understand. I'm coming back as your Messiah. They're asking him, when is your kingdom going to start? That's what they really want to know. When is your kingdom going to start? Because we're supporting you to get rid of the Romans and everybody else. We want the kingdom.
Right.
When are you going to start your kingdom? Here's the answer.
Right.
When I come back, you'll know, because all these things are going to happen worldwide, not just to them, but everybody.
Right.
So get a grip on that.
No, I understand.
Well, you don't sound like you understand because you keep going back to just a part of the population of the world. You need to include the whole world.
Sure, but back then their whole world was just the Middle East.
He's not telling them about their world. He's telling them about what's going to happen 2,000 years later, or maybe more, we don't know. He's not talking about what they expect. He's telling them what is going to happen. See, that's the difference. They want him to confirm their expectation, but he's not doing that. Let's go on, okay? All right, so, go ahead.
The tribulation is the time of Jacob's trouble when God comes back to
Okay, and we're going to see that happen. That's going to happen throughout this great tribulation. That's what's going to convince them that He is their Messiah. And they're going to recognize that and see it. But we haven't gotten there yet. See, we're studying the book. Right? Okay, now, the last thing I want to say, Matthew 25:31-46 talks about the judgment of the nations, also called the judgment of the sheep and the goats. Okay? That happens after the tribulation has ended. Okay? So, pardon? After the 7 years, yes. That happens afterwards. So, what I started out trying to tell you was, in 24, around verse 4, that's the beginning of the tribulation. It doesn't say it's the beginning, but all these things start happening. And so the tribulation has to happen just before that, because the tribulation, excuse me, not the tribulation, the rapture. Because the rapture is the beginning of it. That's what the event that starts the 7 years. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Then you go to verse 15 when you see the abomination of desolation. That's halfway through the tribulation. So we have the beginning, we have the midpoint. Then you go over to verse 30.
Hello.
Still in chapter 24, verse 30. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. Okay? When Christ comes again in that verse, the way it's described, that will end the tribulation. Now, all these things, you know, when you read a book, when a book is printed, when they put it in print, it has to be in an order. They can't pile everything on top of each other, right? It's impossible. But in reality, those events are going to happen. Bam, 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 bam. He's going to come back. He's going to defeat His enemies. He's going to do all those things that He said He's going to do when He comes back. Let's read it again. The sign of the Son of Man will appear. What's that sign going to be? A lot of people say, we don't know what the sign's going to be. Well, it can only be two things. It's either the angels coming before Him blowing the trumpets, because it says they're going to come blow trumpets. Either that's the sign. When you're out in the yard working on a nice day and it's quiet, and a jet or a helicopter comes over your house, what do? You look up. What's that noise? That's what's going to happen to these people. They're going to hear the trumpet. What are they going to do? They're going to look up. And they're going to see the sign of the Son of Man. So either that's the sign, the angels are blowing trumpets, or the other sign is Jesus is visible coming back. He is the sign. So it's one of those two things. There is going to be a visible sign. Because the Scripture says it. So, you're going to hear the trumpet. And then all the tribes on earth will mourn. Trumpet's going to blow. They're going to be sad. Why? Because they're going to recognize, hey, Jesus was the Messiah. Right. We blew it. They'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. What are the clouds of heaven? Is that just the clouds in the sky? Could be. Yeah. Could be. But it could be clouds of saints that are coming back with Him. How many saints do you think are up there?
Billions.
And if they all come back at the same time and they're all in white robes, what is that going to look like?
Wow.
Just saying, I can't prove that. But, you know, you can use a glorified imagination a little bit. I don't think you'll get in trouble for that. So they're going to see Him coming in these clouds with power and great glory. What does the glory of God look like? We don't know because we can't look at it. He'll blind us. Paul looked at it. He got blinded. But somehow we'll be able, people that are on earth, we'll be coming back with Him. We won't be looking up. We'll be looking down. But they'll be able to see it. Maybe because of the distance or something. I don't know. Or the atmosphere. All that's going to happen just like the rapture in the twinkling of an eye. It's not going to be, okay, this is going to happen. And then this is going to happen. And then this is going to happen. And then we're going to see him. No, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be bam, all at once. And it doesn't say it there, but what else has to happen? He defeats all of Israel's attacking enemies with the sword of his mouth, the word of God. So they're all defeated at that same moment. You see, there's where you got to take what you know and plug it in somewhere. You know stuff. You've read stuff. You've learned stuff. You've studied stuff. Where does it fit? Ask the Holy Spirit to help you fit it in. And then check it with the Word to make sure you're not going crazy with it or something, right? All right, we got to stop. We're over time now. Yes?
Verse 4, you say is that you think it's the rapture. I agree with you 100%. It could be unfathomable for 4. Because we see clearly that the midway point is verse 15. We notice how these birth pains, they're actually birth pains that ramp up.
Yeah.
Now, if we're already seeing all this stuff happening right now going on, and it's ramping up more and more and more, this trumpet could sound at any moment. We are so close, people.
Now, you're talking about the trumpet for the rapture.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because, see, there's a trumpet for his return. So you got to say which trumpet you're talking about. Otherwise, you get confused, right? And we're already confused enough. Okay, listen. Okay, stop. Thank you. Now, I'm telling you all this stuff. God wants you to know all this stuff, not to confuse you. So you'll have an understanding of it. You might have somebody you need to talk to about getting saved. And if you tell them, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell, they're going to stop listening to you, right? Mm-hmm. They're not going to listen to that. So you got to tell them, listen, for the people that don't get saved, they're going to be left here on earth to deal with all the mess that's going to happen after the Lord takes the believers out. And maybe they'll say, well, what's that going to be like? And you'll have some information that you can lovingly share with them to try to move them a little bit closer to making a decision, right? Now listen, don't throw this away. Don't lose it. Put it somewhere where you can find it and bring it back next week, because next week's lesson is on here. All right? All right. You've been good listeners and good questioners. And I appreciate that. Well, praise God. Yeah. Praise God. And we haven't even talked about the horses yet.
Right.
we're going to get to that, okay? We're going to get to it. All right, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, we're so thankful that you love us. You sent your Son to redeem us, Lord, so we won't have to go through all this stuff, Lord. We fully believe and trust that you took all of this wrath for us, and we won't have to experience that. Oh, Lord, we praise you and thank you for that. And Lord, we pray that we will be able to use this information to help someone else make a decision for you, Lord. That's what it's really about. If they don't make a decision for you in this life, Lord, they are gone. They're not really gone, though. They're in a place of suffering for eternity. Oh, God, help us to get a grip on what that means, suffering for eternity. Help us, Lord, so we'll be more motivated to speak your name and speak out for you. Lord, bless us because we're in your word. Not just this word, but we're in your word. Not just revelation, but all your word, Lord. Thank you. Bless us with that knowledge. Bless us with that love. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.